You're listening to Allegedly NYC.
Allegedly. Lord. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. Lord. Hello and welcome to another episode of Allegedly NYC. I'm Nomi Ruiz.
And I'm Eva San Jurjo.
And we are your go-to girls for all the tea all the time.
All the time. Is it time?
I think it's time.
Perfect. I'm ready. I'm so ready tonight.
How ready are you?
Just about ripe. No, we just made some ill chicken. I got chicken all over my teeth.
Ginger chicken.
She makes her famous ginger chicken. And I always, when I'm like, you know what I'm moving for? Like, what's... I love when you make that ginger chicken. It's always like a huge hint. It's never even a hint.
I'm like, I'll be right back. It's wifey night at the San Jurjo residence.
At the Allegedly headquarters.
I love cooking for my boo.
Thank you, and I love eating it. She kind of just killed a chicken, let me tell you.
Well, thank you.
You're wifey material.
Thank you. Well, good chicken can't go without a good wine.
God damn it, you're goddamn right.
And good thing we're supported by wine and spirits.
You know what? If there was anyone supporting me in life, it would be them.
Or child support.
Or child support.
What's our wine of the week?
Ooh.
Oh my gosh. Jesus, that got me. Oh my God, a guy in Greece recently got me a bottle of champagne for my birthday.
Oh.
And I heard that sound, but right after it was like, oh fuck. Like the cork had busted him right in the
Ooh,
mouth.
No. Yeah. Ouch. What a dumb bitch. Why you put it towards you?
He was 20.
12, yeah.
It's not funny. It's kids. No, stop laughing.
It's hilarious.
It's not funny. Stop it. It was true. It's true.
It's true, guys.
Okay, 21.
Ooh.
They can drink at 18 there, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah, but it's still stupid.
It's grief.
So go on. Okay, this is one that's called Relic. Mm. She's a Pinot Noir.
That sounds like a PlayStation game.
I know, Sierra Zelda.
Featuring
Carly B. Okay, so this is a, it's from California.
Oh.
Yeah, she's cute. West
Coast.
It says it feels a bit reductive. I feel like I'm describing like Madonna.
Are you the Madonna?
Yeah, doing Lady Gaga. Try to read it, Lady Gaga.
It's reductive.
Oh, did you saw that? Did you see that documentary?
I did.
It was really good.
It was good, but I thought she was complaining a lot.
Well, you know, cause I think she has bad hips or something of that nature. But I think she said some really poignant things.
She did. She spoke a lot about like female empowerment.
Yeah, I thought that was
like
very awesome.
Little things that happen in relationships that you don't realize are like, it's kind of manipulative.
Exactly. I thought it was great.
She was really real.
She's a very emotional gal.
Yeah.
All right. So going back to this wine, I'm sorry. I got distracted by
gossip.
Gossip. So yeah. So this one is red fruited, and it has a little alcoholic sort of taste, but it does when you let it breathe, it comes very warm. Mm. It's a warm taste. So
what's the
food?
What's the mouthfeel on this one?
Mm. She's heavy on the red grape.
Mm.
She's on the red grape.
A grapey mouthfeel.
It's a huge grapey mouthfeel.
Like marbles.
Ooh, guess what, girl? You know this is my shit. You can have this one with a gamey meat or a duck. You know, I love me some duck.
And some dick.
And like some good
You can
dick.
Have this bottle of wine with some gamey dick. You know, I love a gamey dick.
I love a gamey dick.
Do you want to play a game? Let's play a game.
Let's play a game. I'm ready for you. All right, girl.
A mind gamey.
Right, a mind gamey.
This goes good with a mind gamey. All right, let's do this. Cheers.
Oh, girl, this is delicious. I can't wait.
Let's taste test.
Oh, she's expensive. She's $60.
Ooh.
Right? So if you want to impress somebody, do this one.
Or recommend it. Mm. Like, on your way back home, can you grab that Relic from 2015? Thank you.
Thanks.
So today's topic of discussion is one that we've both have witnessed firsthand. This hits very close to home.
And dealt with.
And I've had to move. Gentrification.
Yes.
As native New Yorkers, you and I both have fallen witness to New York's ever-changing landscape, from nightclubs that come and go to falling skyscrapers and
restaurants.
Like,
they had, you know, one night, it was like consecutive every week. I was gonna go on a date, and they're like, "Oh, what do you feel like having?" And I was like, "Oh, you know what? I know this amazing Thai place. Follow me." I get there, gone.
Even Google gets confused now.
Yeah, they're like, I thought she was looking on Google. Yeah, exactly. And I, it was still on my Yelp, and it said it was still existed. And then the following, like, oh, I'm gonna take you to my favorite Turkish place. Walk all the way there, gone. I was like, fuck.
It's like, you know, when they don't even have an awning yet, and they think it's trendy to just write it with like really plain block letters.
Yeah.
Oh my god, remember I walked by the nail salon, like they do eyelashes.
Yeah, and I was like, girl, you can't go to a salon that says I do eyelashes in a like Xerox paper and a Sharpie. Like, we're not doing that bad. We're not doing that bad in life.
Where every 2 weeks, like $150.
I swear to God, if you come back with staplers on your eyelashes, I told you so.
I blame gentrification for that sign. So the New York Times has been doing a really good job at documenting the effects of gentrification on New Yorkers, such as Mr. Manjo Lopez from the South Bronx, who has been hounded by strangers who keep calling him and even knocking on his door to ask if he wants to sell his brownstone.
My mom got that recently.
Really?
She sure did. And she's like, nope. She's like, first of all, if I'm going to sell it when I'm ready to leave, and I want $1 million.
Well, gag. So this guy, they keep hounding him to sell it, and he can actually get $1.5 million for it. And he paid $400K.
Where is this at?
For this house in 2004. Wow. And this is due to the development of the Mott Haven and Port Morris.
Okay, yeah, that
area. Lopez said, I come from Puerto Rico, where my sister lives in the same house where we grew up in. Mm-hmm. We don't see this as an investment. We see this as our home.
Yeah.
I have no desire to sell it.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously my mom's not ready to sell either. She was, you know, she has her business there.
Right.
But it's funny, just recently I was, I accompanied her to a neighborhood meeting. And honestly, it was just her and some people that were newly developing in the South Bronx. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, can you keep the business local? Can you do things for people within the area? And the people that were trying to build, he's like, listen, we don't want to gentrify this like they did with, you know, with Brooklyn, where they're pushing people out. We're definitely not doing that. Like, we're trying to bring people to like stay in our area, so you don't have to go into the city to go to have a dinner or pizza.
I feel like the Bronx has actually learned. They used Brooklyn as like a test. Like, they saw what happened in Brooklyn, and they're like, we don't want this to happen to the Bronx, because it's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, it is. It is. And they're, you know, it was really nice to hear. It was like, oh my God, yeah. And they're really like picking my mom and I's brains and stuff. And my mom was like, you know what? It'd be nice if we could get like an ice skating rink. And they're like, well, we're thinking about doing like pop-up ice skating rink in a park. I was like, my mom was like thrilled. And there's like local businesses that are opening up to the
public. Think about what's needed.
Exactly.
And what people can afford.
Hello. That's the thing. And I was like, we have to, so, you know, affordable fun for your fucking family. You know what I mean?
Well, like this neighborhood, I guess it's like the South Bronx, Port Morris.
Yep.
Longtime residents are being pressured to sell their homes, and even renters are being harassed by landlords.
Yep.
They were trying to push them out.
Yeah.
This actually happened to my mother.
Yeah, that's right.
She,
to me.
The place, the apartment where she lived in for 30 years.
I can't.
The landlord pushed her out.
I can't.
Thank God she found another place with affordable housing.
Yeah.
But that was like shock. Like, there, you know, there are laws against this.
Yeah.
You know, but they take advantage of people who are not aware of it or can't afford lawyers.
Exactly.
And they just like frighten them.
Oh yeah, they totally frighten them, or they harass you to the point where I'm like, all right, I guess I have to go.
Yeah. Or they even call the police on you.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, like, I feel like someone who's been living somewhere for 30 years, you have some motherfucking rights, you know? Yeah, they do. They try doing it with my aunt. She had been living in her railroad and, of course, Park Slope. So of course they want to get her ass out of there because she's been living there since the 60s. So her rent is like $5, basically.
But they don't think, where's she gonna go? Where's this woman gonna go?
Where's she gonna go? She's in her 80s. Like, where's she gonna go? Like, where's she gonna go? So, you know, she's a smart cookie. She's a very wise 80 something. She's like, oh, I'm not going anywhere. It's like, I have
not over my dead body. And even when I die, I want my ashes put here.
No, she's like, then my son's coming here.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it's just keep being handed down. I mean, why would you take away the soul? Like, she's a funky little character. Why would you take the soul out of the building?
Lopez, this person who was interviewed by the New York Times, he actually moved to the Bronx after being pushed out of Brooklyn.
Gag.
His Fort Greene neighborhood changed drastically. Local stores and restaurants closed. They were replaced by pet stores, boutique shops, pizzerias, bicycle shops.
Yeah.
The corner delis turned into upscale gourmet and organic cookie stores. Faces in the neighborhood changed, and people started calling the cops on neighbors because they were playing music and dancing. And he said, when gentrification touched us in that way, we knew we had to move.
So basically, they were pushed out.
Yeah, we talked about this once when there was there's an old music shop,
Puerto Rican
music. Yeah, and they would play the music outside, and it's just part of the neighborhood. Yeah, it was like, even on the street called Puerto Rico Way.
It's on fucking Puerto Rico.
And they started calling the cops on them, and calling the cops on the guys playing dominoes in the street.
It's insane.
It's their culture. It's part of the neighborhood. Like,
it's not bothering anybody, especially when they've been doing it for so many years. It's during the day. You know what I mean?
There was actually recently it was a review. Was it Airbnb? There was a review of someone's apartment. They had Airbnb'd it in Spanish Harlem.
Uh-huh.
And all their complaints were so racist. They were just like, there are people out sitting on the front steps playing music and dancing and like hanging out in the streets. This neighborhood's disgusting. It's like, I had to call the cops a few times to tell people to lower their mouths and get off the streets. It's like, You're in Spanish Harlem.
I was just there recently for my birthday. People hang out. I was literally, me and my mom were literally dancing in the street. I went there for my birthday. I went to El Barrio Museum, and then we went to have some Spanish tapas, and I had a little baby crew with me. And all of a sudden, they're playing music, and this woman's dancing. My mother starts dancing with her. We're all like dancing and then walking at the same time. It's like West Side Story, you know? It's really fun. Well,
my homegirl used to live there, and I used to visit her, and she'd be like, what do you want to do? Like, just come over. Let's hang out on the stoop. We just sit on the stoop.
That's so cute.
And like, shoot the shit, check out boys, and people start gathering. It's like,
it's like the nature of the city.
Yeah, they're just terrified because they're brown. Mm. In 2006, real estate guru Barbara Corcoran declared the South Bronx as one of the 5 hottest real estate markets in the nation. She said public money is flowing in, and the arrival of artists and musicians can really revitalize the area. She even advised people to look for expensive coffee shops as a sign of an area on the upswing.
Yeah, they did that recently. My mother's another local activist, which I can't say her name, but she opened up a very expensive coffee shop. Guess what? No one can afford it. Like, it's not ready for that. It's like, it's $5 for a cup of coffee. Why am I going to go to you when I could go to Bebe around the corner, which has his name?
They're trying to plant the seed.
Yeah.
So people start coming to coming into the neighborhood so they can raise the prices and push people out. Yeah,
push people out. And people that where is everyone going to go? Where are they going?
When Keith Rubenstein announced the construction of luxury towers in Port Morris, he tried to rename the area the Piano District.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I used to live there.
Yeah, yeah. I just had dinner there recently.
He then received tons of criticism, which caused him to drop the plan to rename the district.
Yeah.
Long-term residents of the South Bronx feel this is an attempt to erase their history as well as the businesses that have been serving their community for decades.
It's so true. It's crazy because I was there about 2 weeks ago with my mom. Mom and I got a little tipsy, and we went we went there for this place called Charlie's in that same area. And I was walking around. And I was like, God, it's gorgeous around here. But also, it wasn't shying away from like the true culture. I mean, there was a couple of fun, funky restaurants, but there was like a Latin art gallery, and I was like, oh shit, that's really cool. And I understand, like
I still want to buy sneakers, and I still want to be able to get my $5 rice and beans.
Yeah, but I also don't want to go all the way into the city to have a nice dinner. You know what I mean? Like, bring affordable, nice restaurants to the area where people could like enjoy themselves and go on a date and stuff, and not go, you know, spend a fortune, you know, in the city.
Research has shown that when crime falls sharply in certain neighborhoods, wealthier and quote-unquote educated people are likely to start moving into lower income and predominantly minority urban neighborhoods.
Mm. Interesting. Well,
this reminds me of when, like, because, you know, we saw Williamsburg change.
Hard.
Like, I used to go there with my drug dealer boyfriend to record demos in a bootleg studio.
Oh, my God.
That place was, like, hood.
It was really scary.
And then I remember at one point, it was, like, one block was, like, suddenly...
hipsteries.
Like, really quiet. Oh. Quiet. And the other was, like, you know, the normal neighborhood.
Yeah.
And this sounds kind of fucked up, but, like... You know, when this was happening and there were like all these reports of like people getting like attacked in the streets or like robbed. Part of me was like, well, you're in someone's territory.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to invade their territory. And that reminds us mm-hmm. that you're trying to push us down.
Yeah.
You know, like where do these people go? No. They don't just disappear.
No, they super don't. And honestly, I've noticed that a lot of the new businesses, even in Bushwick, you're kind of excluding the people that have been living here. It's not a very welcoming sort of vibe at all. You know what I mean? Like, I've saw a couple of Spanish guys go into this new hipster bar around here, and, like, the bartender was kind of a cock. You know what I mean? And I was like, this is, like, these That's are like this when is that business, guy told first us, of all.
Remember, he was like, oh, you're wearing hoop earrings.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're on my block.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're on my block.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed because I recently was living in LA.
Right.
And I was living in South Central.
Right.
And every time I was asking people, like, I didn't know the areas in LA. Of course. It's really wide. So I'm like, what's this area called? Like when I tell people where I live, because everyone's like, what area do you live in? What area? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And someone told me West Adams. And I'm like, okay, I live in West Adams. So okay. I remember taking an Uber and this girl was like, driving me home. She's like, where do you live? I'm like, oh, in West Adams. And she's like, girl, that's South Central. I'm like, oh my God, am I a gentrifying hipster in LA? Like, am I guilty of that?
I know. Even when I was living in Bushwick, when I first moved to Bushwick, they were calling it East Williamsburg. I was like, but it says Bushwick. It says Bushwick.
I'm like, when did we separate East and West
Bushwick? I don't know. And now I'm in Bushwick, and now it's like where I am right now. I don't know what they're going to fucking call it.
Girl.
South Manhattan.
The Violin District.
Exactly.
Peter Moskowitz, writer of the book How to Kill a City, says that gentrification is not integration, but a new form of segregation.
Wow. It is, unfortunately.
Which is true, because it's true. Like these people are pushed out and they go into, cheaper neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And those neighborhoods are becoming like super ghettos.
Yep.
You know, and if there's room for them.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes they have to move out of the state.
No, you're absolutely like,
this
right.
is also why I also moved mm-hmm. to, I move around constantly because, like, I don't want to live with 12 roommates.
No.
I'm an artist and I can't afford to have, like, what, $3,000 for rent?
No, I can't.
Like, what's going on here?
I know. No. And what's considered cheap is really not cheap anymore. Like, I'm so grateful that I have...
for a closet.
Yeah, for a
like
closet.
You'll pay a lot for, like, you got a good deal.
Oh, my God. And I in all honesty, it's really a shame because, like, my first apartment in Brooklyn was really reasonable price until the very end. They barely would raise the rent because it was rent stabilized. And then someone bought it.
And they bought you out, right?
And they bought my ass out. So then I had to find something really quick. And I told them no in the beginning because I was like, they thought it was a lot of money. They thought we were stupid. You know, and we had a 2-year lease, but they wanted us to get the fuck out.
So I always feel like it's a bad idea to take that money, and like it's like fuck.
Oh, I told them no, and then I was like, no, I'm not leaving for that much because half of that is gonna be finding a new place. So fuck you.
Yeah,
that's stupid. And then they came around again. I was like, no, still low. Like I'm not stupid. And I was like, I want to leave for $1 million.
Oh my God.
No, but it was like a little bit more. And then they were like, I'll get the fuck out for this much in 2 weeks. And they were like, word? I was like, word. He's like, okay. Next day I got an apartment here.
Perfect.
I was like, where's my check?
Check, please. John Schlichtman, author of the book Gentrifier, fears that he is contributing to spurring gentrification and says that walking the streets as a white man signals to others that the neighborhood is ripe for investment.
Oh.
I didn't say it.
You didn't say anything.
He said it.
He said it. White's right.
It's really quiet in the neighborhood now. It's quiet. John also urges fellow gentrifiers to unite with older residents in a fight for affordable housing once they move in. And he says that many progressive activists and academics against gentrification are actually gentrifiers themselves.
Well, you know what? Some of them are. Because I told you, that woman, she opened up a really expensive... She's been living in the South Bronx forever, but she opened up in a really expensive coffee shop that doesn't really invite anybody but her and some maybe teachers in the area. But other than that, it's not somewhere, you know, anybody local who wants to spend like fucking $5 on a cup of coffee. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Quite quiet.
Bodega. A bodega is a corner store that's open pretty much 24 hours most of the time.
Oh, really?
You can get almost anything in a bodega.
Oh my God, thank
bodegas
you.
Are our friends.
Thank really? You.
Oh my God. Bodegas
are our friends. Thanks for clarifying
that, friends.
Taylor.
Oh my God, she's so, you know, thank you. Taylor Swift. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Taylor Swift letting us know what bodega is.
Don't forget to buy her new album.
And burn them. Can we? I wish we could do like old school. You know how they used to burn like NWA records?
Yeah.
I would love it if a bunch of people got together and put a pile of Taylor Swift CDs and burn them in a
pile.
I
would be the first one to light a match.
So two ex-Google employees are behind a new startup called Bodega.
Oh boy.
What they've created is a vending machine that would house convenience items in hopes of becoming a replacement for local bodegas.
Fuck you.
They've even used a cat as their logo, which represents the cats that live in most of the convenience stores.
Which we, I think that cat came in here.
I know. We were going to be there at Bodega. Yeah. Users would download an app that would unlock the vending machine. Co-founder Paul McDonald says that Bodega's vision is much bigger than the box itself, and that eventually centralized shopping locations won't be necessary because there will be hundreds of thousands of bodegas spread out, with one always 100 feet away from you.
That's boring. I like to go to a bodega. Like, I go to at least a bodega every day.
Are they going to sell poppers in this thing?
Yeah. Where are the Trojans?
Where's the Rush?
Yeah. Where's my bacon, egg, and cheese?
Where's the Viagra?
No,
where are the
weed that we sell in the back?
Magnums,
quarter
rough
waters.
Riders. Are you gonna sell Rough Riders?
No, you're not gonna sell Rough
you're
Riders.
You're not gonna sell Rough Riders.
We're gonna get our Rough Riders now.
Am I gonna get a where douche there last minute?
Am I gonna get my dollar pregnancy test?
And
my
I don't know.
Batteries?
Am I gonna get pregnant in this box too? Because the guy at the corner store is pretty fucking
my
beauty.
Coca guy is hot.
Hot as fuck. Well, Twitter was not having it. And I would like to read some of their responses.
I sometimes love a good Twitter read.
Bomani Jones tweeted, "If a store on the corner isn't convenient enough for you, it ain't convenience keeping you out of the bodega. It's the people."
Ooh.
Oops. Just Kelly OK tweets, "Founded by two ex-Googlers, stated business model, make local immigrant-owned businesses obsolete. Audacity to name it bodega. Ew."
Agreed.
Tristan A. Cooper tweets, "Weird that they're calling this heinous vending machine bodega and not gentrification box."
He's funny.
Oh my God. John Birdsall tweets, "Dear America, I would like to take this opportunity to apologize that the Bay Area even exists."
John.
Nadi Yarn says, "My bodega guy lives in my building. I'd like to see your dumb machine bring you an egg sandwich at 11 p.m. and talk about its world travels."
Word. That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Who's else is going to flirt with me while I get my cold cuts?
Seriously. Those hazel eyes.
Those hazel eyes.
Those hazel eyes. Andy Ziesler tweets, "I've never longed for anyone to be mauled to death by an actual bodega cat, but here we are." Paul McDonald, the co-creator of Bodega, issued an apology on his blog after saying, we were hoping for a big response. The reaction we got this morning certainly wasn't what we expected.
Dumb bitch.
Challenging, he's also said, challenging the urban corner store is not and has never been our goal.
Sounds like it. It was. I mean, just judging from your fucking shit you just said.
Hello. He says, we want to bring commerce to places where commerce currently doesn't exist. Rather than take away jobs, we hope Bodega will help create them.
No, you won't.
It's an app.
It's an app, and it's in a box. It's basically a vending machine. Who's going to be working there? No one. You dummy.
I can't wait to see those boxes. They're going to all get jacked.
Girl.
Quick.
I already have a mask.
I'm gonna. It's time to get that Krispy Kreme and start hacking. We're gonna replace. What would you replace those boxes with?
Oh, girl.
Used douches.
Dirty tampons.
We should. We'll change it to like tampon disposal box.
I'm just gonna lift my leg and piss on it. I'm gonna be a little
pissing
doggy.
Protest. We'll have a pissing protest.
I'm gonna lift my leg across. Across Manhattan.
We'll put catnip on them and all the cats will go.
Oh my God, I'm just going to piss on all of them.
Oh wait, he also went on to say, in Spanish, bodega can mean grocery store, wine cellar, or pantry. In what? Many major cities, it's come to mean the mostly independently run corner stores that populate the city and serve the community. Are you the Urban Dictionary? Like,
yeah, seriously.
Like NYC's bodegas, we want to build a shopping experience that stands for convenience and ubiquity for people who don't have easy access to a corner store.
When is there any not a corner store in any borough?
The only time I have a hard time finding a corner store is like 2 a.m. looking for Marlboro Lights.
This is true, but guess what? If you walk two more blocks, you're gonna find it.
Lazy bitches. This is
seriously.
I think his real goal is to just make people more fat
in
America,
so
they don't even have to like go take a walk.
Seriously, like there's always a bodega open at any time. The one near me, I could get anything at any hour. It's 24 hours. It's amazing.
Well,
yeah, you're gonna be taking people's jobs, man. Honestly, I hope people don't conform to this like lazy bullshit.
Oh shit. Was that a gunshot?
We just killed one of them.
No, oh my God.
Boxes.
We killed a box. We killed a gentrification box. I think those gunshots went straight into this store in Crown Heights called Summerhill BK.
Oh, that motherfucking place. Is that the place we were talking about?
Yeah, so a cocktail bar in Crown Heights called Summerhill BK has sparked anger with locals. Summerhill is located
pissed.
On 673 Notion Avenue. It opened in June. The owner, Becca Brennan from Toronto, sent out a PR blast to editors at various publications, and she stated that Summerhill was opened in a long vacant corner bodega with a rumored backroom illegal gun shop to boot, while also pointing out that, yes, the bullet hole ridden wall was originally there, and yes, we're keeping it, and sending photos of cocktails in front of a wall with bullet holes in it. And their website and social media accounts also feature 40-ounce rosé, which will be served in paper bags.
I want to slap them so hard in the face.
It's like, what are you doing?
I mean, are you going to be, at this point, you're really kitschy. You're basically Chuck E. Cheese. In my opinion, you're a Chuck E. Cheese, you're Universal Studios of bars, because that looks, it's really cheap. That's really cheap to me.
So would they want to make it like a point of conversation? People are like, oh my God, this is so cool.
If
this used to be
wall,
gangster.
Not only that, if there's a bullet on the wall, that means somebody might have died. So obviously, I hope you saged a place before you made it into a kitsch, a fucking Universal Studio attraction.
Ava got real witchy. She's like, I hope you saged the place.
Because in all honesty, if you think about it, like if there's bullet holes everywhere, clearly this wasn't a place that was happy, you know?
An updated profile of Brennan says she plans to give back to the neighborhood she inhabits by hiring local residents and providing culinary training.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks. This is where my dad was killed.
Yeah.
Can I get a job?
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, bitch.
So she said they're going to hire local residents and provide culinary training to those who may not otherwise have access to it.
That'll do it.
Speaking of culinary training, I discovered a new community culinary center in Brownsville that aims to educate and inspire participants to excel in the food service industry while offering healthy, accessible cuisine to neighborhood residents through their eatery.
Ooh.
This is an interesting concept. I wonder what people think about it. Let us know your thoughts. It's from Klaus Meyer, owner of Noma in Denmark, which is one of the top restaurants in the world, I guess.
Uh-huh.
He's involved in the Brownsville Project, which is trying to find a way to create new restaurants.
Cool.
And but without contributing to gentrification.
Okay.
So the project promises to offer free courses to locals.
Okay.
And in hopes that they can train in the culinary world and get jobs after. And the restaurant, at the same time, they have a restaurant with 40-person dining room.
That's very cool.
That could be cool for your mom in the Bronx.
Yeah, and you know, we actually did talk about that. There's a bakery that they want to put up in the plan, and they want kids and families that could come in and learn how to bake and have like cooking classes and stuff like that, and have schools come in and like do like field day trips, and you know, obviously provide jobs to the area.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, yes, 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 please. Because that's another thing. Bronx is the biggest food distributor, and we have no access to that nice, beautiful, fresh food.
Right.
It's terrible. We have no access to it. It's in our backyard. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we get the you know, we have no fresh restaurants with like nice, fresh food that people can afford. None of that.
Yeah.
And the groceries, the produce is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But like literally the world's food distributor is right there.
That's
it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know what?
What's going to give?
It makes me sad because I feel like every day we're losing a new favorite place. And not that I don't want to be one of those annoying New Yorkers like, I remember when this was here. You know, I don't want to do that all the fucking time. But it sucks when I have to move and my people that I know have to move. Because of
this. I don't think it's about like the changes. New York City is always changing. Yeah, it's just part of there's layers and layers of history and culture.
Yeah.
But it's about removing the soul, and it's also about racism.
It is. It is.
Because, you know, and classism.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. You know,
it's really classist to like kick someone out of their affordable housing.
Right.
And bring in someone that pays double or triple.
Right.
And, you know, are you also at the same time contributing to creating more affordable housing
for
these people who can't afford higher income? Like, where do you think these people are going? You're forcing them to like build a whole new life for themselves.
Exactly.
It's like, who's thinking of these people?
No one. They're honestly the only place when I was saying that there was a couple, older couple that had been living in my old building for about like 40 years, and they were trying to get them out because at that point they're not paying. They're paying like, not even maybe $500, which is, you know, in New York is unicorns.
America.
But if you've been living someplace, you know, before the 60s or like early 70s, mm-hmm. rent is very cute for you, you know, as it should be. This place was like this guy that's trying to get this couple. He's like, you guys ever think about moving to Florida? You know, you're both in your 60s. You think about moving there? I know I could set you up
with the rest of the Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, exactly. He's trying to set these people up in Florida. He's like, our family is here. We're not moving to Florida. Like, where are you taking
whole lives is here.
Yeah, but he's willing to relocate this poor couple that love where they live.
Greedy. It's insane.
It was so insane. I was like, oh my God, you're really gonna do this?
Well, everyone, I urge you to know your rights.
Absolutely.
And there are definitely community centers that can help you get together with other people who are maybe having similar problems, like being pushed out, and you can learn your rights. One I found is southbronxunite.org.
Yep.
And they help you find lawyers that will work for you, maybe pro bono. And mm-hmm. They help the public interest, and they're helping to fight gentrification.
Yeah. But don't keep me on my mouth, please.
Southbronxunite.org, and also look up your local community legal centers.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's all we have for you today.
Yeah, we're going to keep it really, you know, short and sweet today.
Let's blast the music right now.
Girl, I'm going to give it to you.
We're going
to
play this real loud.
This is my favorite shit.
They're going to call the cops on your ass, bitch.
Girl, I was kind of living because Ellie Esquire played it the night that you two played at that sex party. And he played it, and I was like, because I've been wanting to play it here. Oh my God, that
party, he did play that?
Yeah. He played it like towards the end of the night.
We were DJing together, and right in front of us is a woman getting roped. Getting roped and hung from the ceiling, and we're like, there's a first time for everything.
Good gig, right?
Good gig.
So here it is. This is the Leisha All Night Passion.
All night. Okay, before Leisha takes us out, everyone, don't forget to subscribe.
Oh, yes, please.
Rate us and review us.
And love us.
Send us silly notes. You can also write us.
Yeah, write us. If you want to talk about something special, you know, or is any topic that we're missing.
Yeah, or ask us questions. Yeah, and we'll answer them on the next podcast. You can email us at allegedlynyc.com.
Yes.
And also visit our website, allegedlynyc.
And Nomi has a fabulous Instagram, and I sometimes put up some fun stuff.
Follow us on Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram.
What's your Instagram?
It's just Ava Sanhudho.
Ava Sanhudho. Mine is Nomi Ruiz.
And then we are...
And we have Allegedly.
Yeah, Allegedly NYC. Just follow all three of them.
Stalk us.
We like persistent stalkers. I like a little push.
In the bush.
Yes!
See you next time.
Where's my ponytail?
Oh my God, girl, the cops are coming.
Oh!
Oh my God.
Where's my rent?
You're listening to Allegedly NYC. You're listening to Allegedly NYC.
Allegedly.